So for the people that Jeremiah was writing to, the Israelites, these were the worst of times. The Babylonians had invaded Jerusalem. They left the city in rubble and force marched the few survivors hundreds of miles away to Babylon. Jeremiah is bringing God's word to these worn down, worn out, exile refugees. No home, no fields. Family and friends are dead or dying from the fighting and the fleeing. The temple, the home of God's presence among mortals, is destroyed. And God speaks, "I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare and not for your destruction, to give you a future and a hope." Now that verse is now printed on canvases and a multitude of scripts and designs. You might even have one of them. It's on journals and quilts and on wall decals. It's even on a baby onesie. We treat it like a personal promise that everything's going to work out okay, right? "For I know the plans I have for you, says God, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans for your welfare with a future and a hope." But the promise to the people from Jeremiah was not that everything's going to work out okay for you and you're going to live a happy life. I feel quite sure that the first readers of Jeremiah's letter didn't frame that verse. Because Jeremiah went on to say, "Here's the plan, says God. 70 years from now, I will visit you and fulfill my promise to you and bring you back." Now, it's important to dig a little deeper into this promise to really understand what God is promising. 7 in biblical terms is the number of completion, of perfection, of fulfillment. And in 70 years, when you add a zero, all you're doing is saying in a really long time. It just means that in a long time, God is going to fulfill God's promises. In a long time. Not in your generation. But when the time of Babylon is complete, I will come and I will bring you back, says God. I will visit you. But the "you" is not really singular. It's plural. It's more like, "I know the plans I have for y'all." Right? "I will return to my people, Israel." This is a promise made to people, plural, not to any one person in our lives. In other words, this generation is going to live out their lives in exile, and God is not promising to come and work out the details so that everything works out well and happy and good. And God doesn't promise that for our lives either. It's important when we read this verse to realize that maybe the view on our screen is a little bit different than the view on God's screen. You know, we like to go 200%. Look at it really, really close up, right? But God's view might be a little farther out. We like to look at the foreseeable future. How's it going to work out like next week or next year or in my lifetime? When we put on that bracelet that says, "I know the plans I have for you," Jeremiah 29:11, we tend to think of God's plan for my life. My personal life. Or if we're thinking of all y'all, "I know the plans I have for all y'all," we tend to frame it in terms of our nation or our generation, when God's promise is much larger. Our future and our hope, even in the midst of Babylon, even in the midst of being exiles, is that God's purposes will be fulfilled. And in the meantime, we're called to flourish where we are. Jeremiah writes, "Build houses and live in them. Plant your gardens and eat the fruit. Take wives and have sons and daughters, and then when they marry off, enjoy your grandchildren. Put down your roots, even though this isn't your homeland, even though maybe this isn't where you wanted to live. Maybe your life isn't exactly the way that you always dreamed it would be. Put down roots and seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray on its behalf. Surrounded by people who were different from them, who didn't keep kosher, who sacrificed to idols, who didn't have the same customs or norms or way of life, these people would not even associate with these Babylonian people they were surrounded with. And the Babylonians were going around and they were claiming people here and claiming people here, and they were shipping them all off into exile together. It was a mix of people. God says, engage. Be a part of society. And pray for your city of exile. God's people are called to make the best of Babylon. Live there, really live. Serve there. Make the place where you are a better place. Love the people around you and pray not to go home, not to escape, but for God's kingdom to come right where you are. My friends, we all have times that we're in exile. Whether we read the news and despair at yet another mass shooting, or we experience the way that our justice system is not just, or we struggle with estrangement and separation from a part of our family, or we have to make a change in a job and move to a new city, or we go to the doctor and learn of a disease, or we stand at the bedside of a loved one and say goodbye, these are times to change the setting to God view. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for your harm, to give you a future and a hope. And to remember that those plans are not promised in our lifetime, but that God's purposes are being worked out. God's kingdom will come. And in the meantime, we are to make the best of Babylon. We are to flourish where we are, putting down roots and living our lives in a way that makes the world around us a better place. On Labor Day weekend, we celebrate American workers who have found themselves at the close of the 19th century in the midst of their own Babylon. The Industrial Revolution had drawn the masses to cities to work in factories. 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Conditions were harsh and unsafe. Some of the laborers were as young as 5 years old. And the pay was low. In 1882, workers organized a Labor Day parade, marching in an orderly and pleasant manner on strike for one day, calling for less work. They wanted 8-hour-a-day work days and more pay. They risked their jobs to improve the working Babylons of all factory workers. That's what we celebrate this weekend. The ways that others in our country have sacrificed and taken risks in the midst of their own Babylons to make our work lives a better place. How are you called to change a Babylon in your life? And in the midst of your Babylon, how are you going to make the best of it? How are you going to put down roots and truly live life? It is through you and me and God's people in places of exile around the world that God's purposes are being worked out in the world, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. How will you be part of bringing God's promises to fruition? Amen.